This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Here we go. Hour 5, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Chiefs Sports Hodgepodge coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll give you what Thomas Harley has said, and that's gotten him, I think, being criticized possibly unfairly. You decide. You'll hear the audio yourself coming up here in the Hodgepodge starting in about 20 minutes. Here's Wolchuk with your proper round tripper.
Big shout out to Tolo Jared. Said, wish me luck, boys. Been with my girl 8 years, proposing on Saturday. She does not listen, so not worried about the shout out here, but she loves the G-Bag boys, so we know she's a good one. You got to keep her there, man. We love you, Jared. Congratulations, broski. Hopefully you went to R.S. Diamond Broker. If you didn't, just circle back in there at any time in the
future. Is this a friend of yours?
Big time, long time bleeder, long time Tolo. I don't know if we've probably met Jared before.
Do you have a responsibility trying to talk him out of it as a friend?
No, they have two children together apparently already.
Oh, all right.
So I feel like, you know, if they weren't.
Destiny then, huh?
Yeah, if they weren't already married,
yeah.
He had the opportunity to probably get away.
Yeah.
If they're married without the two kids.
All right.
Or weren't married.
That was a good clarification, though. And as a further point of clarification, Hixie wins your G-Bag of the day. We'll check.
There it is.
Hixie.
Congratulations to Hixie. All right, speaking of these Texas Rangers, we'll be out at the Globe tomorrow. So if you're going to the game, come on by. We'll be at the Comerica Backyard there, center field. They're welcoming in the St. Louis Cardinals rematch of that World Series in 2011. Let's get that revenge, boys.
And whoop that ass.
We got a serious problem, though. We've had one for a while now, maybe all year. The Rangers get inept, can't score any runs, but specifically two players. It's Cedolis Garcia and it's Marcus Semien.
Yeah, it's a big story.
This thing's gotten really, really bad, boys. I don't know what you do with both of them right now. But Garcia, you know, you go to Wednesday. He's looking and he's chasing. 3-0, he's up in the count, took a strike, then he swings, misses on two consecutive sliders, further off the plate, both of them further and further. Semien, he's going up there and he's flying out. He's striking out. He's popping up. It's just, you name it, it's getting bad to worse. And I don't know that this is fixable. In May, which coincides with the change in the hitting coaches, right, Seven Grant, Semien is hitting 163 with a 464 OPS. He's got one extra base hit for the month, one double for the entire season.
I mean, his OPS has dropped 240 points in a year. It makes no sense. And it's sad. You know, it's one of those things when you have to move on from a great. Sure, it was frustrating when you get here, but, you know, I think it's got to be real tough for this organization to try to make the right call on it because of what Garcia and Semien have done for you and how many fans just absolutely love these guys, you know. And so you don't want to move on from them for that. You don't want to move on to them from them early because they're still young enough they could recapture it. But I think objectively, just being cold, like as a fan that wants to see this offense come around, this is a great piece of news for the Rangers and their chances because it's not going to be hard to find anybody that can step in and do better than that.
Yeah, I mean, geez, it's so bad. If you look at this since 2016, there's only three other players that have had 200 more plate appearances by the end of May and an OPS below 490.
Is Rugi one of them?
Former Ranger Chris Davis. Not Rugi. Not Rugi, whose rapid decline in 2018 was legendary. He was at 483 at the end of May. And then you've got Semien. Garcia's hitting 195 for the month. He's got a 556 OPS. His batting average for the season fell to 208. His OPS to 627. And he has 25 strikeouts in his last 20 games.
You know, you mentioned Chris Davis, and it's like, what's happened with some of these Rangers hitters? Chris Davis, every time he got called up to the Rangers in 2010, he would be hitting 350 in the minors and then go over. But then he had the one big year in Baltimore where he hit 50 bombs. They gave him all that money, and he went back to being terrible.
Yep.
Sometimes it's crazy in a large sample size game these players can still have a year like Heim had. in 23.
Yeah, and I think Chris Davis was juicing. I think he got suspended
after that.
So I think he was doing the roids, and that might have helped him out. But this
it might be time for the roids for some of these Rangers, to be honest, because, you know, if you can get away with it, cool, and if you don't, your career's over anyway. Maybe you're the kind of guy that wouldn't want to be associated with that for one reason or another, and I would definitely understand that. But I think I'd be doing roids right now, Wolchuk, if I'm Marcus Semien.
I'd be doing anything. And they know about it.
At least HGH.
Like, they know they stink. They're talking about it. Boch is talking about it. I mean, it's got to be psychological right now. Like, the thing about Elbombi is, you know, you get into a big game for whatever reason, it seems like he turns it on. But it just has not been there. And I don't think Marcus Semien, it's ever coming back. He's still a really good defender. But I don't think the bat's ever going to click again for him.
Okay, so what I have for you on that is what I want to do is go to fourth infielder playing once or twice a week for a while after like a 3-week layoff and maybe a week in Arizona. Like, we're going to take an extended break. But the thing with him, Wolchuk, is that while last year was not good, he still hit 240. You know, he scored 100 runs. He walked 64, 75 ribbies. You know, not a leadoff hitter, but as a 7-8-9 guy, Semien, you didn't get this old. You're not this bad. So I want to hang on to him in hopes he can be a role player.
Can I ask this question then? Maybe you guys could give me an answer. Has he turned into an aging NFL running back with a lot of carries?
Yeah, because, I mean, he's had a ton of at-bats.
He's an Iron Man, second base.
Well, I'm just talking about the number of at-bats.
Yeah, he plays the full 162.
Over the last 2 years, he's had over 650 at-bats.
Well, the World Series, you set the record for the most ever in the season.
Is that a wear and tear situation for a guy?
Is he a
running back that's into that? You've given him too many carries, and now you're starting to see the downside of that.
I think there's some wear and tear to it. I don't think it's quite the same as football because of the violence and, you know, the need to put such high stress and load on your knees and ankles and back. And
playing too much.
Yeah, but playing too much, I can see that. You know, maybe a long break can catch him up and get him, you know, whatever. But, you know, I don't think that a fall off to this level is, you know, that likely. I don't think this is Marcus Semien. I think Simeon's about 30% better than this right now. So I want to see if I can rekindle that so I don't have to have the really tough conversation.
Yeah, they've got to figure out some type of reset here. I mean, it's not getting any better, and I don't know what it is. There's some type of dysfunction. I mean, I don't know. When the whole lineup, this is happening, and outside of Josh Smith, like, nobody gets a hit yesterday, there's something else going on with this baseball team. I don't know exactly what it is, but this is historically bad. Historically bad.
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely is. I saw Bobby tweeted out, this is the eighth loss this year. Last night was that the Rangers have scored a run or less and had zero extra base hits. The last team to do that in their first 57 games was in 1992's, the Chicago Cubs. You had Langford, Seager, and Young all due up in the bottom of the ninth. Versus Jeff Hoffman. Like, these are our guys. You got to make something happen. Can't do it.
Did they let the glue guys go too much? Does Janko need to be called back? You know, I'd rather have Janko than Adolis right now. But yes, Hedgie, you know, like, this had great vibes. Like, what you're saying is maybe the morale is so bad and guys don't like each other.
It's gotten toxic. I don't know. Maybe something's happened. I don't know. Something's off. Something is off. This is too long of a stretch now.
Yeah.
And the hope isn't doing anything for you.
Well, I mean, if there are bad vibes going on down there right now, my thought would be it's not because of the character of the players or the leadership, but it's the grind of losing.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's understandable. Yeah.
It can get the best of anybody.
Especially when the pitchers are probably looking across like, guys, what the hell? You see what we're doing? We're historically good. You're historically bad. Can we get a little bit of help here? Can we meet in the middle?
Yeah. And you know, and to their credit, they haven't really stopped pitching great. They haven't broken publicly. I think right now, because they're professionals and they know how resourceful CY is, they probably have faith. But I think what's happening right now, Wolchuk, it's that pressing thing. You know,
sure.
We tried to buckle down and go hard and it kind of worked for 2 weeks. But then in weeks 3, 4, and 5, since Brett Boone, we totally fell apart. And now it's like they don't have faith in their ability to work their way through it. So they're losing confidence and trying too hard at the same time. They could probably all use a couple of weeks off.
Yeah. And no, we're not trying to end any career for 69. We're just pointing out the truth.
Yeah.
This is historically bad. You've got sent three players since 2016 with this amount of at-bats at this point in the season. Three players have been this bad. It's just factual. I want Marcus to get back to his all-star form. That'd be great. All I want is success for the team. I don't want his career to end. But we can't just pretend like, oh, it's not happening. Especially when this team's not allowing over three runs a game. And you can't score.
I mean, I'm not trying to end his career either. I'm just trying to take the next progression. And, you know, with what Evan Grant wrote this morning, that Garcia and Semien might force the Rangers' hand. Nobody wants this to happen, but Grant wouldn't just make that up out of thin air.
No, and CY has always talked about it's performance-based.
Yeah.
And these guys aren't performing right now.
So I think what we do next is time off and then bring them back. And then if that doesn't work and you're in August, but you're somehow in the pennant race, then you sit them down for the rest of the year. You're just like, okay, we'll try again in 2026. And then if it doesn't work, you'd have to look at a buyout or something. But, you know, we are there. We're there now with a front office that's not going to be patient. If this was the Cowboys, Semien and Price still be hitting leadoff. But it's a team with championship standards, and nobody slides beyond it, as uncomfortable and awkward as the conversations, you know, might need to be. But I'm excited to get Josh Smith there at second base here and Seager at shortstop by this weekend.
Now, we did get positive news on Cody Bradford. He's got a test coming up here in his rehab with his recovery. So he's got a big day coming up where he's going to start to throw a certain amount of breaking balls and try and get his pitch count up. Keith Meister's been working with him, so he's thrown four bullpens so far getting on the mound. His most recent one was 30 pitches. So now he's got the breaking ball hurdle. If he clears that, he'll have two additional bullpens before he's going to face hitters coming up soon. So hopefully all this trends in a positive direction, and we get good news, and Cody Bradford is coming back sooner rather than later.
Man, that would be great. Another, be awesome. And then Rocker's making rehab starts as well.
Yep.
I do like the idea of him as a closer. A rocker? Yeah,
I wouldn't be opposed to trying that out either. How about some trade deadline chatter, shall we? Looking at buyers, this is pure CBS Sports. The Tigers have been red hot. They're obviously going to end up being a buyer here at the deadline. The Phillies as well. I think you can lump them in. And then the Mariners, they say, are three teams that seem like they're for sure going to be buyers at the deadline. The sellers, Miami, and I put out Sandy Alcantara as a guy like, look, if you really just want to continue to get stud arms. Now, he has started to fade. He's not been pitching great lately.
Yeah, he's been fading.
Which maybe his value kind of is scuffled a little bit. Maybe you can get him for less expensive. But Luis Arraez is another guy that I think they moved on from last year. So they've been known to do this, try and get ahead of some of these players. Then you got the Rockies. Ryan McMahon's an infielder that maybe they'd be looking to move. The Pirates have a couple of relievers. David Bednar, who I think the Rangers were interested in a year ago. You've also got Dennis Santana, if you want to try and fortify the bullpen a little bit. But here's the guy that I'd really be interested in. Hey, look at the Baltimore Orioles. Cedric Mullins as an outfielder. You know, this is a guy that certainly has hit for power over the course of his career. And if it's an expiring contract, okay, maybe you don't have to give up as much for him. But I wouldn't mind adding a bat like a Cedric Mullins if you're looking for a team that we know for sure is going to sell, and it seems like Baltimore is one. I'd put him on the Rangers' radar. Rangers are listed here as a team that could be either way. They could be buyers or they could be sellers. If they're sellers, that's where Tyler Mahle comes into the picture as possibly a person they're looking to offload. The Rays are also in a similar conversation. But I would really be interested in a Cedric Mullins right now. He, for the most part, he's been a very, very successful hitter, and I think he's a guy that could end up being helpful if you need another outfield addition. And certainly, if something happens to Adolis Garcia, you're going to need to add some more help in that area.
Cedric Mullins is the guy you're going for, huh?
Cedric Mullins, just a name. Because otherwise, it's a lot of pitchers that seem to be available. Like our old buddy Andrew Heaney could be a trade option. Pete Fairbanks with the Tampa Bay Rays. Jake Bird with the Rockies. Not a ton of bats, man. Yandy Diaz with the Rays, who's having a little bit of a down year, but he has been productive. He's in his mid-30s. Like, it's not a lot of sexy names. I think Cedric Mullins might be the one that gets me most excited.
What kind of a contract are we looking at here?
He might be expiring. That might be a guy that's going to be off your books.
He's a 30-year-old player.
Yeah.
Career, like, 780 OPS. I like what I'm seeing here.
Yeah.
Pulls the ball really well.
Eight seasons. I think the OPS was 746. Dawson.
And he's got an 80%
career OPS.
Yeah, and his career average is 251. The last 3 years, it's been 233, 234, and this year he's 232 when it comes to his average.
1 year and 8.7, so he's got about $6 million left on that. 80% stolen bases over the course of his career when it comes to successful stolen bases, and he's walking at a higher clip than normal right now. So, honestly, they just need guys that can get on base, and he'd be a guy that maybe could help you in that regard.
So
looking for options.
No, I like it, man. Let's get that. Let's make sure we get that to see why. I think he might be joining us in person tomorrow.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, because we missed it with him for Memorial Day this week.
So yeah, we're going to be at the Globe.
That'd be exciting.
Let's make good on it. I hope he's in a decent mood.
See if I can get
that
good parking spot again.
I do think the entire lineup for the Rangers should be maybe taking a page out of Mookie Wilson's book.
Mookie Betts?
No, Mookie Wilson.
Mookie Wilson, the old Met?
The old Met. Remember his slump busting?
Each other?
No. There's no...
The Golden Thong?
No.
No, that was Jeter.
This is Mookie Wilson... and this is from a New York newspaper. This is a direct quote. When I'm in a slump, I comfort myself by saying, if I believe in dinosaurs, then somewhere they must be believing in me. And if they believe in me, then I can believe in me. Then I bust out.
Wow, yeah. Whatever it takes,
bust
dude.
Down, Tatiana.
I mean, dude, at this point, why would you not?
So when CY comes on the show, we just need to ask him, do you believe in dinosaurs?
Well, I'll ask him about Mookie Wilson and his thoughts on slump busting. I don't know if we've ever gotten CY's official thoughts on getting out of a slump.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
He's got a lineup.
I'm sure he could probably attest to some of the crazy things his teammates attempted over the years. You know? Mighty wholesome guy. I think for CY, it might just be like crossing his fingers or something. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he did the dinosaur bit.
Len Dykstra's famous quote, "You got to go hogging. Ain't nothing like a slump buster, bro." Yes, he meant hogging like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's going the old Freddie D.
Yeah.
You find the biggest girl and you take her down.
Yeah, that's Fred Davis.
That's how you break out. Works every time.
Fred says, go get yourself a one technique and you're going to be good to
batting,
go.
Batting 1,000 with a space eater.
Yeah. Go find yourself a nice Samoan.
Yeah, I'd go on the Howard Stern show.
Ask her to do the haka for
TMZ.
You.
And yeah, I think... That would be interesting. Maybe we can get some Tolos volunteering. Yeah. Some lady Tolos out
for volunteering.
I love that he alleges that is never lost. That is an undefeated slump busting technique.
Wow.
Do you want a championship or not, fellas?
You do whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
I think maybe you're happy with one, but I'd sure like another one.
Do it for the dinosaurs.
And unlike Woolchuck, I still believe in this team. I still believe in Dak. I think we found out both those things today. Okay.
That's right.
Lies.
All righty. Sports Hodgepodge coming up next,
Chief.
Can't
wait to that elevator ride down. Can't believe I said all that stuff today.
Yeah, I didn't really mean that, Dawson. That's my bad. You're all right, Woolchuck.
Hey, let's prep our bodies for Stars Puck Drop. We have some culinary news that you need to know and the ultimate dating revenge.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Next in the nation.
Welcome back, Nation. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-0817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay, here's the Chief of the Sports Hodgepodge.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Let's keep the Stars season alive. How do we feel about that? I imagine that the AAC is just going to be absolutely on fire.
Fans
hopefully,
will do their part.
Hopefully the Stars give them a reason to go buck wild in the first few minutes of the game and then just sustain it for
Shippy,
three periods.
Shippy will be good, too, tonight.
No, Shippy's going to be in his bag. You know that he's playoff ready, and we just hope that the team is. Now, Thomas Harley is getting dragged in Edmonton right now for some comments that he made in regards to Zach Hyman. And, of course, Hyman now banged up, not going to be playing tonight. And this was Thomas Harley meeting with the media earlier being asked about Hyman.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player. He was playing very physically, which I think the defenseman noticed. And even when he's not scoring, he'd be affecting the game in that way. So, you know, I'm happy he's not playing. Obviously, injuries suck, but, you know, he's a good player. And if he's not on their team, they're a little bit worse.
Yeah, you know, I see nothing wrong with this.
It's pretty innocuous.
I've only capitulated to the public after death threats, you know. But I think what Thomas Harley is saying is how I would look at it as a competitor.
Yeah, I got no issue with this at all. I'm surprised that it is. I guess I shouldn't be totally surprised because sports fans are going to try and just jump on anything, especially when it comes to injuries, and they want to make it a bigger deal. That's a nothing burger, Dawson, as I believe you would say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if these people ever played sports or got hurt, you know, but getting hurt's part of the game. And, from a very early age, when we knew the kid on the other team wasn't pitching or wasn't playing center mid, sure. It was like, holy cow, how did we get so lucky?
Yeah.
We're going to win today, boys.
Yeah, you think they were, like, okay with Robehan's not playing the other night after they said he was faking it?
And called him a P-word? That's the other part of it. It's just like it's such a tense series now that if I was Thomas Harley, I'd have been tempted to just really speak my mind and say, after what they did to Rope, you want me to feel any sympathy?
Yeah. Nada.
I hope they all get hurt tonight in the first period. We get to go empty net the rest of the game.
There you go. There's the honesty we're looking for.
Yeah.
All right. Elsewhere here in the hodgepodge, Pat Mahomes was asked about playing flag football in the Olympics 2028. Quote, I'll probably leave that to the younger guys.
Oh. He's already calling himself old.
By then he'll be a little bit up there, right? I mean, he'll be over the
30.
I think he's over 30 now. He's probably 30 now.
Gosh, time is flying.
So I do think Tom Brady reads that quote and just laughs to himself. Younger guys.
I'm going to get in there and
spin it at 50.
Yeah.
P word.
29. Yeah, he will be.
When you're creeping up on 50, you realize how young you were at 30. But at 30, you realize you weren't the athlete you were at 24. You know?
It looks like you'd be able to run around as the quarterback here, watching highlights of this other guy. That's the starting quarterback now for our team. He's dipping and dodging and running all over the damn place. So I don't know that Brady.
Kyler Murray-like?
Yeah, like Lamar. Yeah. I mean, Josh Allen. Yeah. I don't know that Brady would be the best pick.
Hey, we have a ranking.
Pocket passer in flag football.
Yeah.
If anybody can do it, it's Brady. Tommy. Keith Law has the MLB top 50 prospects after 2 months. Do you see this, Walchuk?
Where's Walcott, number four?
Walcott, okay, where do you think you got Walchuk starting the bidding at 4 overall prospects MLB. Is Walcott?
What kind of under. Weeks he's had?
Under.
I think Walchuk nailed it, to be honest with
under.
You.
I think Kylie McDaniel had him at 4, so we'll see if him and Keith Law see eye to eye on this.
Number 3.
3? Let's go.
He is, of course, only 19 years old.
Oh, Spike's wearing his zoot suit tonight.
Just like Bitcoin, he's going higher, boys.
They're saying he continues to show good strike zone judgment, drawing walks with a low chase rate on pitches beyond the shadow of the zone. He had a scout tell him earlier this year that his at-bats were significantly better than they were just last year. His weak spots so far are what you would expect. Difficulty with the better off-speed stuff he's seeing in AA, which is the sort of thing that should improve with more reps given his history of making adjustments. So that's what they say about the 6'4", 190-pound righty at age 19 years old. Sebastian Walcott, 3rd on the MLB prospects list. That's pretty hot.
It is.
That's surprising, too. He's only hitting .237, but wow, a .330 on base, so almost 100 points higher than his average in the OPS, .744. So, yeah, that cake is going to have to bake. Hopefully he has an awesome summer, and we can seriously talk about this in February, though. I mean, October.
Yeah, yeah, we gotta get him to Round Rock at some point here, real soon.
Yeah,
let's get him on the
still Bumsky Upsky.
Yeah, yeah,
it's not that big of a leap, you know. I think what Walchuk was talking about though in the proper round tripper though hitting the trade market for some of these guys that are in the final seasons of their contract with teams that can't compete. I'm trying those, but yeah, I'd be up for Walcott because I think his talent, he could come up and have an amazing 3 weeks, right? And maybe that 3 weeks is exactly what you need to get back in the division chase. Then the pitchers figure him out and he starts hanging two collars, boom, back down. We'll see you next year, buddy.
But I think there could be some real benefit to this, and before the league figures him out, he might win you some baseball games.
Okay, we have a couple of Duck updates to get to. We'll get to Dawson's here in a second, which I hope to be more promising than this Duck update Oregon.
Oh, what happened?
Remember the video of the of Dan Lanning jumping in a pool after he had a 5-star recruit at 17 years old commit to his program?
Uh-huh.
That was just 17 short days ago. Now the headline reads, 5-star defensive end Dick Wesley decommitted from Oregon just 17 days after Dan Lanning jumped in a pool to celebrate landing him.
That's how quickly things change.
Guess he's not able to.
We jumped in a pool together, bro.
We bonded.
I thought that meant like this is a forever thing.
Yeah.
Turns out it meant 17 days of dating before Dick Wesley said thanks but no thanks. So we'll see where Dick ends up, but
he's
more curious.
A name like Dick Wesley, that guy's not going to be good.
That's a 5-star Dick Wesley you're talking about. Yeah, this isn't some average Joe run-of-the-mill Jag Dick Wesley.
Like, you take your 5-star Dick, I'm going to look elsewhere.
Okay.
All righty, boys. You want the Duck update from my backyard?
Give me the Duck update, sir.
So what was this? When did this start? Monday? Did I tell you guys about this Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Yeah.
So a Tuesday morning, went out to the back area to play with Remy as I usually do, found the egg at the side of the pool. Told you about that. I thought it was a toy. Then I was like, holy crap, this is a real egg. And then I was warm. I was like, wow, this is a duck egg. The ducks that were just here laid an egg. So I immediately decided we're going to hatch this egg. Right. So I took it inside. I got a light for it. I got a heating pad. But then as we started to chat GPT, like, what's it going to take? We realized you're going to have to keep this thing between 99 and 101 degrees. So we ordered an incubator on Amazon. Okay. While the incubator's on the way, I got worried maybe the egg's already ruined. Found out you don't have to incubate it for the first week. Okay.
Nice.
So it can be at any temperature, basically, as long as it doesn't freeze or cook for the first week. So got the incubator last night, and we're doing the candle test. This morning, Abby comes running into the office and says, Dad, come in here. She puts the candle test. She says, do you see a circle in the middle of this egg? If so, where do you see it? I pointed out. She says, I saw it too. Right? So the circle is the first sign of development.
Oh.
Like the cell is forming or the embryo is forming or something right now, and we can see the little pocket inside the yolk of that baby duck starting to form. So we're also Googling, like, how do you keep it alive once it's born? If they're not in pairs, they get too stressed out. They die.
Oh,
they don't
no.
eat.
We're hoping for a double duck situation.
Looking for another egg. Looking for a set of ducklings because it is nesting season. Maybe there's some ducklings down at a Sunnyvale pond I can drop the duckling off at. Or maybe trying to buy a duckling.
We got it at the Cooper Clinic if you want to drop a duck off over here. We got ducks.
See, there we go. That's what I need.
We got a lot of ducks.
How about you duck off?
So in the first week, the chances are pretty high mom will adopt the baby duck. But I'm just stoked we get to do this science experience and have the girls, you know, watch this whole thing come together. Because that duck's about to hatch in about 3 weeks.
That's fantastic, so sad, though. Dude. Like, you can't just have that one duck and keep it as a pet.
Yeah. I know. I thought we could have, like, one pet duck. Which I'm up for. You know, it looks kind of cool with the people that have been able to pull it off, but they highly recommend getting two ducks.
Do you walk the duck, like, on a leash? Waddle, waddle.
No.
I'd like to think so, right? If you're doing it right as a pet owner.
I would try.
Yeah.
Heck
yeah. I would try to walk him.
I would try.
Hey.
I think it's more like a chicken situation, though, basically.
Where do you kind of give me odds on this being successful for you?
It's going to hatch. After that,
freaking watch
all bets are
off.
50-50, it dies.
50-50? Yeah.
If it dies, it dies.
I'll do my best.
Let me ask you this. How high end did you go on the incubator?
$40.
Was that your kind of like, I'm not going any higher than that?
That's his duck budget, bro.
I was not going to go into triple digits for it. I don't think I would have gone over 70 or something.
Do you think this duck would have had a better survival rate potentially?
Outside?
If you'd gone a little more on the incubator?
The incubator had good reviews. You know, all
what
it is.
What is it used for? Is it just an incubator for other things too? Other than
for chicken people.
Chickens.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
And it can hold like 15 eggs in there. And obviously, we just got the one, but we're looking for more.
You just need another duck, another egg to show up, right?
Yeah, that'd be great. That would be ideal. We were walking the perimeter this morning trying to find the nest.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe we could go find another egg.
It's been a good bird conversation. I do have a bird game to play with you guys at some point in the near future. I'm looking forward to it. But we have other news.
Bird.
Bluebell is bringing back
oh, damn Damn it, I had something about that, actually. We'll bring him up tomorrow.
What, Bluebell or Birds?
Flipping to the Birds.
Bluebell is bringing back cookie cake ice cream.
Did we do the test on this?
For a limited time. No, we never did the cookie cake. I've never eaten the cookie cake. It looks amazing.
We did wedding cake. What did we do? What cake did we do? We did some type of...
Yeah. Mm. I don't know. I feel like they did like some type of Cinnamon Toast Crunch bit that was pretty amazing.
I bought you a half gallon of it. What was it?
It was the oatmeal cream pie one,
that's right?
No, it was. That one was fire.
Okay.
Absolutely fantastic. The cookie cake ice cream from Bluebell, back for a limited time, looks truly phenomenal. Now, I did want to get to this. This is pretty jarring. And this is all alleged.
We'll be the judge of that.
This is all allegedly, okay? This chick's trying to diagnose herself, it feels like. But basically, and we have the sound, all right? But there is a woman who is alleging that she's been suffering from a 7-year sinus infection.
What?
She's blaming her ex-boyfriend, who was such a disgusting farter that... That's how she apparently got E. coli in her sinuses.
Okay, this was real?
Well, it's a real allegation.
Allegedly.
Ryan,
we're
gonna call it.
What do we got?
I was just gonna call Cap.
Okay,
I want to see it, Brian.
Here's her.
I really do appreciate Dawson being on point for that one, though.
This is her right now on TikTok, and she's explaining to you the alleged 7-year sinus infection. Due to
I had to get that for Dawson.
No, I'm glad you did.
Exactly.
E. coli fart in the sinus.
You kids got two weeds?
Today I realized that I think my ex-boyfriend got the best possible breakup revenge that anyone could ever get. We dated like 7 years ago. I've had a persistent sinus infection ever since he and I stayed in a hotel one night after I had surgery. And he farted terribly. Like, I couldn't breathe. I've never, ever, ever smelled anything that even compares to that. And I got my sinus infection cultured today. I've gotten it like imaged. I've had all of these tests done. Doctors haven't been able to figure it out. And it is E. coli. And, usually don't get E. coli in your sinuses because E. coli is from poop. So, like, I don't know. How does that get in your sinuses unless you have a boyfriend who farts disgustingly and you are forced to inhale it because you are immobile after ankle surgery? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah, here we go.
I got you, bitch.
A fart so bad you get E. coli into your... into your sinuses?
You know what? She didn't wipe, sure. And she probably picked her nose, and that's how she got the E. coli, and she's blaming it on him.
There you go. I think that is a much more realistic story.
She's clearly
bitter.
Got
scratchy, and then she was...
She went scratching and then sneezing.
Yeah.
And then,
these girls are
gross. Yeah, picking the scratching.
Scratch the picking and scratching.
That'll
picking
get you.
The scratching.
The ripping and the tearing.
How can you imagine this guy is taking this news now?
He's probably laughing.
I think we're going to hear from this guy. I think what we just heard was the voice of an absolute freak.
Right.
And there's an explanation for how those items all came to coexist in the same general area one night.
She appreciates groceries just as much as the next guy from time to time.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, what an allegation, though. A fart so bad you get E. coli in your sinuses. This is...
Yeah, stop.
There is no way that's real. Some scientists will check in with us, just as the zookeepers have, telling you you are an absolute schmo for the way you're handling your duck situation, Dawson. But that's for another day.
Okay. What did somebody say? Because I
should have screwed the duck over now.
My wife is a zookeeper. She says you bleeped that duck. Should have left it alone. 214, you will want to help the baby duck hatch. Do not do this. Let it hatch by itself.
Thank you. I will have you know that a good friend and Tolo of the program, Bill DeBeauty, has texted me to say, dude, I'm raising baby wild ducks on a farm right now. Hope all is well. So I said, hey, what's up? Can I bring my duck? So maybe.
Oh, duck might have a home.
Can I bring my duck?
I knew it. Duck can live at Cooper if you want to bring it over there.
Sure.
I'll make sure when I'm walking it's okay.
Can I party? Yeah, can I bring my duck?
I know I decreased the duck's chances of having a successful life with its mom.
right? But what I did is I improved my daughter's chances of having a sweet scientific experience and a pet duck.
Hell yeah.
Okay. So I'm sorry, Ducks Unlimited.
Ducks Unlimited.
PETA, you know, whoever I messed up on them. I'm hoping I do more good than bad with this move, and we're going to save the duck at the same time. So I appreciate if you just be a little more positive, okay? All right, crosstalk with the Fan After Dark. We'll see what Fred and Blake have coming up next for you here in the next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nation, welcome back. It's the GBAC Nation on the Fan. You're 32 minutes and 30 seconds from puck drop at the AAC. I guess that means it's actually 7:20. Not 7 o'clock. So if you're on your way home to watch the game, you got plenty of time, buddy.
You do. Two national anthems rolling out there for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that's interesting always, you know?
Yeah.
I always think the one is a little bit extra, you know, to be honest with you. But then you got two.
You got two.
It's like 5 minutes of chilling or standing.
Best.
I'm ready to play.
National anthem rendition you guys have ever seen in sport. I know Marvin Gaye gets a lot of love. We know Whitney Houston gets a lot of love. Do you remember the R. Kelly doing kind of the little bop before? I think it was Pacquiao and Mayweather. That. Again, I can.
That's your one seed?
I don't condone what he does off the field, but come on.
I'm going to go, who was it, Carl Lewis?
Red glare!
Uh-oh. That's my favorite. I mean, that's the most memorable. But yeah, Whitney Houston, as far as the all-time greats.
Yeah.
I think it was the artist Her that sang at Globe Life Field in the World Series. And hearing that like in real time.
Crush it.
Pretty impressive.
What do you guys have coming up on the show tonight?
Frederick?
4 hours of radio intensity tonight. Obviously, we'll get into some Rangers talk. What do you do? I mean, what can you do? Like I said, I'm at the point now where it's like you almost got a fire sale.
Just have the pitchers hit.
DeGrom took sale deep like 15 years ago.
Figure something else out.
That's a good story.
You know, Madison Bumgarner, he went a bad hitter.
Are you ready to sell everything and like target 2030?
Look, and Paige, channeling my inner Jake Rietma here, and I'll scream into the microphone in just a second. But, you know, remember when the Tigers went all fire sale last year and then went on a run. Now, I'm not saying that's you can easily emulate that, but I mean, who's the, like me and Blake were talking about this before the show, outside of Sebastian Walcott.
Ooh.
Okay. Who's the young guy that we're all sitting there just can't wait to see come up to the bigs?
Well, we had so many, they already came up. We had them in the last couple of years, the Leiters, the Evan right. Carters, the
probably the Korean Shohei Ohtani that they're saying.
Mm-hmm. Who's 18. And you know, we're,
you have a couple of pitchers, a Teodo, and one other guy whose name I forget, but these are like prospects 6 and 7.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's not
Krim and those guys, right?
Krim's been up and it didn't go right.
But you're in a weird spot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, DeGrom's in his mid-30s, Evaldi's in his mid-30s, all right? You got Jack Leiter. I mean, Mally is probably somebody you're going to dump at the deadline, right?
Just keep playing.
You know?
I just keep playing.
Yeah?
I mean, I like the idea.
Malcolm Moore, the catcher that they just drafted.
Just keep playing.
Yeah, Malcolm Moore is having a great year, but he's only in high A ball.
You wouldn't do anything?
Winston Santos.
Santos, okay.
That's the guy you were thinking of.
Probably not. I'm not willing to give up like Walcott and other.
I'm not saying give them up.
My buddies around the league are like, we keep talking about trading pitchers, and so I've got some buddies that are in the front offices and baseball teams. And they're not giving me. They're telling me that if you want to go get a bat, that you're probably going to have to give up Walcott along the way.
Oof.
And
yeah,
I don't think each one of them have said they're not going to do that.
No, right.
They're not going to give up Walcott to get a bat. So to me, I ride it. You know, you're probably a 76 win team. That's it. That's what you are.
I want to get average players in here first, though. I don't need to send Walcott to get an average bat.
Right.
No, that's why like Cedric Mullins expiring. Yeah. It's a rental, right? Yeah. I don't think you got to give up a ton to get a guy like that, who's also north of 30.
But what if they get on? Well, I can't say this about the, because they played the White Sox. We were kind of thinking that maybe they'd had a run of really quality staffs.
Yeah.
And they didn't face the two best pitchers that Toronto had and still couldn't hit, you know? So I mean,
Gusman looked like Roy Halladay out
just,
there.
Just
over
let
the
it
weekend.
Roll. Just let it roll. Just keep playing.
Well. Gausman.
Houseman? Gausman. What did I say? Gausman?
Gausman. But I kind of like Gausman. He probably should switch it. We're just talking Ducks and Gus. Gausman sounds badass.
Look, either way, he was just mowing people down. I mean, that's the bottom
line. He was mowing.
He was mowing.
This game's a lock for the Stars tonight, right, Blake? We're not going home.
We are not going home. The Stars will win
tonight. I'm not going
home. Hopefully one of Miko or Wyatt can get on the goal, or can get a goal, excuse me. They've been on a little bit of a slump, so hopefully one of those guys can right the ship. I feel like the Stars have played too well all season just to get gentlemen swept here in the Western Conference Finals, but losing in the Western Conference Finals has kind of been Pete DeBoer's thing, so we're hoping to change that narrative a little bit. But Edmonton looks like they're on a mission right now. It's not going to be an easy task, but Stars win tonight. No way, right? No way, gentlemen sweep in another way. Do we overreact if they lose this Western Conference Finals, seeming how they've gone to the last three, or do we go, hey, been a Western Conference Finals, so let's take it for what it is?
I think my newspaper headline tomorrow, if they lose, is just simply finished with two N's.
Ooh.
Oh, I like
that.
That
is very strong.
I like
that. You know, the Finnish players aren't known for being tough and physical. And
That's really good, actually.
It's got New York Post style headline. What are you, a National Enquirer writer? I'll tell you what.
Who'd you steal that from? Who'd you steal that one from?
No, that came right from my
From the dome.
Yeah, there was the tumbleweed rolling around, and then bang.
Hey, Finns, they're finished.
I like it.
I hate you, but that's good.
Let's save it for game six, though.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a Sunday morning paper read, Will Chuck.
That is.
Well, you guys, visor guys, Shoddy talking about his visor story today. Got it from Spurrier.
Yeah, let's get the hell out of here. We got a game to go watch.
Okay, used to be Spurrier's visor guy.
Yeah.
Spurrier would throw his visor down. He'd have to go get it. He said the first time he came to know and like the visor.
I might have to listen to the game tonight.
I've never been a visor guy myself.
No,
I don't think it looks good. I think you got to have the right look to be visor guy, don't you?
You got to be like 60, too, so.
By the way, Maverick Bork taking warm-ups for the Stars.
Ooh, there
we go. I've been calling for Maverick Bork this series.
That's right.
You gotta have good hair to be a marching guy.
Spittle called that over the weekend, too.
They need some speed, and he can bring that.
They need something.
All righty. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup over there, Master Control here, 75 Fitzhugh. Just went a full five flawless, and now you have the Fan After Dark coming up next with Fred and Blake. Thanks to Chief and Woolchuck, who's already left. That's a Bassic move right there. He's probably already in his car. Okay, thanks to Broadus as well. I'm Gavin Dawson. Until tomorrow at 2, we'll be live at the Globe. Come say hi as the Rangers host the Cards here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.